The time is 2:06. Currently, a lot of sunshine at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. I am Chad Holmes, and it is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and also on the Civic Media app. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll have our weekly Wisconsin sports segment. We'll be talking to Paul Michalik about everything going on with the Bucks, with Aaron Rodgers going on his retreat, college sports with the Badgers and Marquette, and high school sports, as I know Paul himself has a playoff game where he's coaching tonight. So it should be very interesting and a lot to talk about in terms of Wisconsin sports. So again, Paul Michalik joining us at 2:15 here today on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. I wanted to start today off by talking about the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race. Judge Janet Protasiewicz, I was home last night, and it was a rare night home, not doing any games because of the bad weather, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching TV. In fact, I'm watching a rerun of Seinfeld on one of the local TV stations here in central Wisconsin, and all of a sudden this commercial comes on, and it's talking about how Dan Kelly, the former State Supreme Court Justice, who was the second place finisher in the primary on Tuesday. And he, of course, is going up against Judge Janet in the April general election. But this really, really dark and tough commercial comes on. Judge Daniel Kelly has in the past defended sexual abusers. And it was just, I don't know if you've seen it at all, but it was as dark a commercial as I've ever seen, and I'm watching it. And to be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of this type of commercial where if you're running for a position as a judge, or in this case, a justice on the Supreme Court, anybody that is a defense attorney is pointed at, oh, you defended somebody that, you know, did a bad thing. Our system of justice, you need to have a prosecutor and you need to have defense attorneys. So again, I am not somebody that for the most part says, oh, you should not have a defense attorney. Well, it's part of the system. But the point that I'm trying to make with this is earlier, I talked a bit about how during the run-up now to this election in April, that Judge Janet has to be very, very aggressive in terms of not being on the defensive, because we know with the Elon money and the national Republicans wanting to make sure that this court stays with a conservative majority, that the liberal candidate, Janet Protasiewicz, has to be very aggressive. And it gets to the end of this commercial. And again, an exceptionally dark commercial. 2 days after the election, actually, when you think about it, basically a day and a half after we found out it was going to be Judge Janet against Dan Kelly. And at the end of the commercial, it says, paid for by Judge Janet for whatever. And I'm thinking, holy cow. This was a commercial that was like, if you're using a boxing metaphor, you're coming out of the corner and you're throwing haymakers at the start of round one. I was, to be honest with you, a little disturbed by, again, how dark it was. And again, pointing out that Kelly in his past has defended people who did bad things. And again, I think that in this system, even people that do bad things deserve to have a defense attorney. But on the other hand, seeing what happened last year with all the terrible, dark commercials that were put up against Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes in his race against Ron Johnson, I'm thinking is, holy cow, Judge Janet and her team mean business from the very beginning. It was really amazing, my response to that commercial. I was just like, wow, she came in there and she's not going to let the dark Elon money start to work right away. She's going to take the first shot and make Dan Kelly respond, as opposed to so many times, not only in Wisconsin, but around the country, where Republicans and conservatives come after the Democrat or the liberal so very quickly. I mean, it was an amazing, if you haven't seen it yet, I'm sure you're going to see that commercial very, very soon. But immediately, a day and a half after the primary on Tuesday, to see that kind of spot haymakers. I mean, haymakers early, and it just shows this is going to be a very, very tough, and I think a very, very expensive, and maybe not the most sunshine kind of race between Kelly and Protasiewicz for this very important state Supreme Court seat. Again, I was just, I'm watching Seinfeld last night, and I see that commercial, and it just blew me away. I thought this is going to be a very tough race. We have to take a quick timeout, and then we're going to come back and talk a little sports on this Friday. Wrap up the week, lighten it up. May have more on this judge race coming up a little bit later, but coming up next, we will be joined by Paul McLeod. We'll talk about what's going on in Wisconsin sports. That's coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. On Friday night, the Wausau West High School girls basketball team tips off the playoffs. The Warriors will play host to Appleton East. Hear all the exciting action live on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening tip set for 7 p.m. Wausau West Warrior High School basketball on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Sun Printing, Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, the Wausau West Athletic Department. It's Wausau West playing host to Appleton East in a WIAA Division I Regional Girls Basketball Semifinal. Friday night, starting with pregame show at 6:40 and the opening tip at 7 p.m. On your home for Wausau West Sports, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Friday, sun is shining after so much snow this week. Somebody I know is going to hit the road for a little road trip tonight, West, as a Newman Cardinal girls basketball playoff against the Edgar Wildcats. Right now, one of the coaches finishing things off, Paul McLeod, but he still, even with a playoff game tonight, came in to talk some Wisconsin sports, and I appreciate that.
Oh, it's fun. This kind of gets the mind off it. You know, you get into something, and it's a whole different thing. It's back to you're into a groove of the year and stuff like that. So coming over here and taking the mind off it for a little bit is a good thing. And so we're excited about going over there, Edgar, tonight.
Before we do take it off completely, boy, your girls are playing well. I mean, another nice win on Tuesday in the first round of the playoffs. What is it now? 5 in a row that you've won?
Four
in a row. Oh, I'm already counting tonight. Not to put any pressure. But your girls are really, I mean, boy, they're playing outstanding basketball. Really have turned it up a notch and becoming a dangerous team here in the postseason. I mean, you have to be very proud with the way the girls have responded the last few weeks.
Yeah, just happy with what they're doing and what type of kids they are and adapting to a different situation. And so very excited to see what they can do tonight. The nerves are there just like it was if it was any other game. It's kind of crazy how it goes, but I'm really proud of how they've responded and to the different coaches and to make sure that we are executing and doing what they want to do. And I think they're playing some enjoyable basketball to watch, which it would be the opposite sometime of watching Wisconsin.
In one final note, can anybody stop this Mick Lake Ackerman connection? First in football, now in girls basketball. I tell you, it's like unbelievable duo here.
Yeah.
That
wish
one's
that
for
was.
You, Joe, if you're tuned in.
I wish that. Well, we got a. We still don't got the looks. We got a long ways to go.
Oh, come on. No. But no, good luck tonight, really. I know it's a big game over at Edgar's. It'll be a great crowd, and I know the Newman folks are really excited about it. But good luck to you and your girls tonight.
Thanks, Chad. I appreciate it.
Well, let's talk about the Bucs, because let's talk about the new acquisition, because I got to tell you, it's like...
Remember, I'm going to cut you off, because all I thought was when they signed him was last week, you saying...
If they had Kyrie or whatever.
Well, yeah, yes, because right now you like to cheer for them.
I know.
And they're the best team for that.
It really disappointed me when I heard that Myers Leonard signed a 10-day deal. Again, 10-day deal with the Bucks. He had got into trouble with an anti-Semitic slur during, what was he playing? Some
game,
kind of video gaming, game?
Yeah, video
What's
game.
What's the deal with that?
He was recovering from the surgery he had, so he was just sitting at home doing that. Obviously, wish he was doing something else, but that's what he was doing.
Again, and then yesterday he spoke to the media for the first time, and as a member of the Bucks, and you know, there was a story in The Athletic that I read. It sounds like, number one, again, terrible, terrible thing to say. Number two, from what he said, and again, I guess we have to, I don't know if maybe look for more research on it, but it sounds like right away he decided to try to make amends, and he's been trying to do that for the last couple of years. It's really a difficult situation because, as I said, like we talked about, boy, I love being able to follow a team where it's like, man, I like these guys, and it's more than just being able to be good between the lines. I think it's important that you have guys that you can kind of identify with, that you feel proud that they're representing your state in the NBA and winning big. I guess, what's your take about all this?
They had a good article on ESPN. I think it was not an article. It was obviously a film. Just in like early February. It was first week. I think it was February 4th or 3rd or something like that. They had it on there, and watching it seems like he's genuine about it. That he made a mistake. He didn't know what word he was using and how it was being used. And you know, I guess in this case, you got to take, there is something to be said about giving somebody second chances on that.
And I was thinking about that too. I mean, I don't want to be one of those people where one strike and you're out, where people can't learn. Because I think as human beings, and I'm sure that you, especially when you work with young people who are developing a lot of different aspects to their lives, where they'll make a mistake. Yep. And I know that, you know, he's a bit older. Obviously, I think he's now 30. He must have been about 28 when it happened. But still, when you look at myself, when I'm in my 50s now, and then I'm still making mistakes, it's I don't want to be one of those where, you know, you talk about cancel culture, where it's one and done, where if somebody shows remorse, and it looked like from what I've read, he has shown remorse. He's worked within the Jewish community. So, again, it's like it's difficult.
Yeah. I mean, I think you got to you know, I'm just one of those guys that you got to give somebody. If it's genuine, you got to give him to give him a second chance on this. And I think that's how you're supposed to live, and that's how that I live. So I would want somebody. Yeah. If I made a mistake like that, I would sure hope that because I don't think it would be purposely making that mistake. Mm-hmm. And I would hope everybody would be able to give me a second chance, because otherwise, that's a pretty tough. It wasn't repetitive. It's not like he did it 6, 7, 8 times. It was a mistake.
He paid a big price for it.
And he paid a big price for it. And then he got hurt during that time too. So that didn't really help the cause of the situation. So, at that time frame, it was pretty hot. Stuff going on, things like that. So it was just kind of everything was kind of coming at once. But I think he's genuine. And you know. Hey, we all got our quirks. I mean, you want to talk about, you know,
hey,
everybody.
Let's not open up some.
I
thought you were talking about me.
No. I mean, but, you know, I guarantee you there'll be 70,000 people cheering for Aaron Rodgers if he comes back. And, you know, for the last 3 weeks, everybody's just been ripping out. So it's kind of one of those things where my guess is that he was coming there because they thought – that Giannis was going to be out for a little bit, and that doesn't look like that. Right. So I think that's but again, if the guy can shoot the three, stretch it out, yeah. get some more depth, and give them maybe those minutes where if Portis is just coming back slowly here, and Giannis, you want to sit him a little bit going into the playoffs, and Lopez, maybe play him down a little bit more, and so you can have him go out. So that's kind of what they. I don't think that's a for sure thing that he's going to stay longer than 10 days.
Well, and also it's good to have somebody at the end of the bench that's not going to be like, I think Serge Ibaka got upset that he wasn't playing. I think he'll just be thrilled to be part of the team.
Thrilled.
Right now.
You got that right. He's thrilled in there. So. And I'll be honest, if there is one place that he probably wouldn't want to come to if he was not sincere about his apology, I don't think Milwaukee would be the place that he would come, to be honest with you. If the guy thought that he had an issue, you know, I mean, just remember the bubble and stuff like that when they're in the bubble.
Right,
and the
right.
I don't think this is going to be the place that you're going to come with that locker room
right.
if you're going to want to cause any waves.
Right.
He's not coming here to cause any waves. He, like you said, he's a stack to be there. Let's play some basketball and see what happens.
And tonight, I think since we started these little weekly chats, the Bucks have not lost a game. They've won 12 in a row. They've been off for now a week with the All-Star break. And tonight, Miami. And the good news is Bobby Portis looks like he's going to be back. Jay Crowder's been working out with Bobby Portis. But Miami's always been a bit of a – they're not up there right now in the top four or five, but they're always a problem for the Bucks. It seems like.
I think they're a problem for a lot of teams. They just don't win all of them, obviously. But they have a well-balanced team, and I think they got the star power to make some noise. Tyler Hero those guys, they got guys that can shoot the ball, and the tall guy. They have guys that can shoot the basketball. If you can shoot the basketball, you're going to be able to win some games. I'm not saying you're going to win all of them because of those nights that you're off, but they can shoot the ball with the best of them, and when they get on a roll, that's going to be a problem. That's why I think they give the Bucks the trouble. I don't think they can beat the Bucks in a seven-game series because I don't think they can shoot the ball like that for seven games. Mm-hmm. Now, down in the bubble, that was a little different story, but I don't think they're going to be able to do that in a seven-game series because that could be one of the teams that the Bucks face in the first round. Depends on where they land here in the next couple weeks.
I don't want to see them. I for whatever reason, Miami is, I just find to be a very scary team. And I think it was back early in the season when they played the back-to-backs and lost twice. And it was like, oh, this ain't fun.
they're missing guys, number one.
Yeah,
and number two is that they really, it's really amazing, Chad, in the NBA where I think they honestly can turn it on and off sometimes, those guys. You could see that it was just before, it was probably about a week before that they started getting on this winning streak. I think that back-to-back happened. Mm-hmm. It was really close to that time frame.
It was.
And then you could see, like, all right, guys, now we got to switch it on here, and we gotta go on a run here to get us back to where we belong. And that's what I feel that they did is they turned it on, and they're getting themselves up here. You're going to see a coast here somewhere. I really do. I think you're going to see them coast a little bit. I'm not saying lose games. I'm just saying that they're going to put it on cruise control here somewhere before they crank it up before the end of the year.
You don't want to peak too early.
You don't want to peak too early.
And it's a long grind when you do get to the playoffs. I mean, to win multiple best of seven series, it's almost a mini season when you get to the playoffs. So
Doesn't it seem like crazy? Because we're talking about May and June.
I know.
And we're in February yet. You know what I mean? Like that's how long it is yet.
It's like early April, I think, they start the playoffs, right? I think it's
early April, yes.
Yeah, yep.
So those series, they really drag them out. If you get to the championship, it's June.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's crazy.
It's crazy.
I mean, this thing, I mean, that's a long time yet.
I mean, the Brewers have played probably about 70 games by that point.
Yes, yes. We're talking about minicam for the Packers
with that. Have to take a quick break. We'll come back, talk about the college teams. Badgers got a big win, big over Iowa. Marquette had a big win against Creighton. And Aaron Rodgers, was he in the dark yet? Was he in the dark?
No, he's home.
Okay, did he do his dark thing yet?
Yeah, but they said he did 2 days.
Okay, we'll talk about that coming up as well as we continue on this Friday. Yep, heading towards the weekend, loosening things up here to start things off on this Friday on the Chad Holmes Show. Again, we are with you each and every weekday from 2 until 4 p.m., followed by the Devil's Advocates from 4 till 6. And then, of course, tonight we'll talk about it later on. We got a couple of high school girls basketball playoff games as well. All still to talk about and come here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.
I'm Chad Holmes, joining former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself each Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. We'll be talking winter high school sports. We'll take a look at what's going on in high school boys and girls basketball and boys and girls hockey, plus special guests. Each week, we'll be joined by one of our area high school coaches, plus a student-athlete guest as well. It's nothing but high school sports for 2 hours each Wednesday night. The Big High School Sports Show, every Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. on Central Wisconsin's home for the best in high school sports coverage. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And welcome back to At Home Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Every week, very happy to welcome into studio Paul Micklick to talk some Wisconsin sports. And again, perfect on a Friday, wrapping up the work week. Everybody, I think, sore from their shoveling and snow plowing of the last couple of days, and now a chance to get ready for hopefully a very relaxing weekend. And let's talk about college hoops. Again, I got home on Wednesday after the Big High School Sports Show and tuned in to Marquette. And a big win against Creighton. They were down, I think, was it 8 at halftime? And they came back and able to earn another W. Now they're in perfect shape to win a regular season Big East Conference championship. Just so amazing run. I say that every week, yep. But they keep doing it. That was
huge.
To go to Creighton and win, that's one of the hardest places in the conference to win.
And they did it a couple of years ago. But early on in the season, it was one of those games where it was before the new year even, and so it was a whole different story of
that was the first, because every year the Big East starts on New Year's Eve, the first day. They always have a big New Year's Eve day of basketball.
Yep, and there wasn't that many people there, the crowd was different to start, and I was like, oh, this is a perfect opportunity, and they took advantage of it. But this was a whole different ball game, because you're talking about a lot of line. This is a conference on the line here. They're good. Marquette's good. And I honestly thought that was going to be a game that if they kept it within 10, that was going to be a good game. That was going to be a tough game going over there. And then to win it, they're going to be a tough out. I wouldn't want to play those guys in the playoffs. I'm telling you, again, they have so many weapons, and they can score at so many different ways with a three-pointer, with driving. It's really fun to watch them play. The only thing I would be a little concerned about, I feel like the last couple of weeks, their defense hasn't been quite as good as it has been. But again, everybody's going to have a weakness. If their defense is making their offense, that's a whole different ballgame. But I don't think that's the case. Their offense is that good that they can do that kind of stuff. They got to get that defense taken care of. But they're going to make a run.
I hope so, because I'm still so that first game, I'm going to be very nervous, because it's been such a long time since they got past that first NCAA game. I remember a few years ago when they faced the guy who's now with Memphis, the Grizzlies, that first round game with Marquette was like a 5 and a 12.
Morant,
Morant. And where did he go to college? I can't remember who that was, but
they, it was a small school.
Yeah, and they came out and they not only beat Marquette, but they died. And I know that was back in the bad old days of Mojo, but at the same time, I know Texas under Shaka Smart, his last game was a first round upset a couple of years ago. Yep. I remember that one too, against one of those Cinderella stories. I just think if they get past the first game, then anything is possible, but just get past that first game.
I don't think they're going to be, at this point in time, they win their two regular season games, make a little run in the Big East tournament. I think they're going to be a 3 seed.
At the worst, if they make a run. I think if they got to make sure, because Marquette in the Big East tournament also has these turkeys they lay out there at MSG. Make sure they win the first game.
They got to win the first game.
Just get past the first game. Then I think exactly that
the way that, and again, these are, you talk about the computers. We talk about it in high school, now in college as well. That game against Creighton is another big computer game as well. Some of these games mean a lot more than others, and I think Marquette is working their way up. I was a little, I don't know, disappointed, but at the last, I think it was last weekend when they put out the early look, you know, the yep. tournament committee, and they had a four seed. I feel like they're still a little underappreciated based on what they've done against these really good teams, against Purdue and against others.
Yep.
That, you know, it feels like they have not had a bad loss.
But what
this
are
year.
They ranked? 10 right now?
10 and 1, 11 and the other.
Which. Again,
would
be, a four.
Yeah, be a four.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what it is, right? But again, with that.
No, that would be a three.
No, that's, 3 times 3 is 9, Chet.
Four, there's four.
Oh, four. Yeah. Hey, I guess where my one, math is. One, that, oh, my gosh. I'm out of here, Chad.
For one. Hey, make sure you're not doing the book tonight.
Okay? You know. I got to make sure. I'm in trouble. Yes, you're right. So that should be a three.
You're right. I like hearing that once in a while.
Don't get used to it. That doesn't taste good out of my mouth.
Yeah, but I felt like they were kind of underappreciated last weekend.
But I'm going to still say is that doesn't count the Creighton game
right
here, and if they win their last two games, I think going into the Big East tournament, three at the worst. Now, again, if they lose that first game, then things might change, and you're right, they might go to four.
Heck, if they win out and win the tournament, maybe a two. And I think, again, I don't want to be a 4-13 game. I mean, those 13s can be dangerous, too.
I agree. But I do think there's a big difference between a 14 and a 13.
Yes.
Just because
absolutely.
Because now you're starting to get teams that may be upset in their conference that don't belong
and
there. You know what I mean?
And I'm pretty sure that the play-in game are 13s. So there'll be some good teams that are 13 line.
Correct.
Because big teams, because they take those games as like the final four in, and then the final four computerized. But the final four in sometimes are good teams.
Yes, correct. I think that there's a big jump when you go from 13 to
right.
14.
I agree 100%. Badgers, 12-point win over Iowa. They needed that one bad, to say the least. But Iowa always scared
that
me
is
for
saying
a
the
reason.
Least. That is
I know,
saying
I
the
know,
least.
I know. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, as part of that preview last weekend, the Badgers, at least in one of the folks that I heard, were the last team in before the Iowa game. So that's
correct. My guess is they're kind of looking at it. I think they need to do is they need to win two of the last three games, and then you know win a game or two in the Big Ten tournament, for sure one. Because if you look at it, if they beat Michigan on the road, that'll be a plus 50 quality win on the road, whatever the case might be. And then if you lose that one, but you beat Purdue, then obviously Purdue, that's a good one. And then the Minnesota one has to be a slam dunk. So you're not asking for all three. They would have made their life a lot easier if they would have beat Rutgers.
Yeah.
Because then it wouldn't have been as much pressure to win one of these next two games. But because it's going to Michigan, it's not going to be easy. Michigan just destroyed Rutgers.
To be honest with you, I'd be surprised if they win one of those two games. That's the way they've been the last couple of months. Michigan on the road.
Greg Dard. I'm going to tell you this right now.
He's got Juwan Howard's number, right?
Well, I didn't say that game because I'll be honest with you. I just feel like.
Oh, you think Purdue's game?
Yes.
Really?
Because they do a pretty good job of in the low post, even though I think they know that they're shorthanded there. But they do
enough
there.
That would be so Greg Gard to lose to Michigan and then beat Purdue.
If he's so Greg Gard. You sound like some of these people on Twitter.
No, it's like he's got that capability, I think, as you said, of making it difficult for really good teams.
He does, especially at home and especially with when you know where the ball is going to be a little bit more. I just think Michigan has more weapons, and for some odd reason, I just feel, and it's going to be at their place, and I guarantee you they remember coming over to Wisconsin, and they did not have a good taste going out of their mouth, and they're going to be ready to play. Where Purdue, they're going to basically have everything sewed up, and it's not, I shouldn't say it's not important, but because it is, but everything's going to be done already for them. And so I don't think you're going to get their AA-plus game. You're going to get an A game from them, but not A-plus.
It has the feeling of one of those situations where Wisconsin, as you say, if Purdue's not, you know, totally engaged, Wisconsin wins it, and then they play again in the Big Ten tournament, and Purdue would beat them by 25. 25,
yes. Yes, that's what it would be. That's what exactly it would be.
That they would be engaged the second time around.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah. Because that's – and they haven't played yet this year, and it was one of those things where, yes, I just feel that would be – one team is – that game is going to be everything to them. That's Wisconsin.
Right.
Because if they lose both those games, I don't know how they get in. I'd be honest
I know. Them. That would be – oh, man. Then they would have to get – very deep in the Big Ten.
Very
tournament.
Deep.
Maybe the final.
Maybe the final, because that would be the day of selection Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Before I touch on Rodgers, but did you watch the XFL at all?
A little bit, because I was looking at T-Buck. I was seeing how T-Buck's team. They
is
lost.
He's a head coach. Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
T-Buck.
But, I mean, big picture-wise, I know you're a big football guy. Do you feel like, man, I feels like we should get at least a couple of weeks between the Super Bowl and the start of another football season.
Correct. I will say is I think they got some more talent than they had last year overall. I'm not saying that's going to produce more football.
I do like the idea of a coach having one free, whatever you want to challenge per game.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool. I think that way, if you have it late and you see this terrible, and anything, it's not correct. Just generally, you know, could correct. Be that interference call that, like we saw in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's like, could have thrown that flag right there and said, hey, let's take a look at that. So, no, I find that interesting. But I was just curious to know if you were watching that. I didn't watch any of it, but at some point I'll try to, when I have a little time, to take a peek at it.
Take a peek at T-Buck.
Yeah, I'm old T-Buck. I like T-Buck. No, not as much as you like T-Buck, but I still like T-Buck.
50 career interceptions.
I know.
Number 77.
But he was ran out. Time. He ran out of Green Bay though, very pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's because he had a big mouth.
And speaking of people that like to hear themselves talk, I know every week it seems like we talk about Rodgers. Will he be back? Will he not be back? And you said he was only in the dark for 2 days.
Two days. I thought it was 4.
Why did he?
He went there Monday and he was out on Wednesday. That's I guess it's 3. I guess if you want.
But still, I mean, come on, Aaron. You're telling us it'd be 4 days. You would start hallucinating. Get the answers.
He must have got the answers sooner. He got the answers. And the thing is, we're not going to know the answer for a while, because either way, it doesn't really matter. Unless he's coming back to Green Bay for sure, I guess. That would be the only way we'd know. But otherwise, if he retired, or I don't think that they're going to announce
anything.
Do you
think the Packers want him back?
I think they want... This over. I mean, like
it's never going to be over until it's over.
Well, I think that this
every
is
every year
it's
going to be.
I think this would be it.
You really think he's going to hang it up
after this year?
You do? I don't know. I think these guys will keep going until they can't go on anymore. A guy like Rodgers.
Yeah, but and that's if he goes out there and wins MVP. And they win a Super Bowl, he's not coming back. If he goes out there and he struggles again, that's 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the type of guy he is. That's my personal opinion.
And probably notice what happened to Brady this year. I mean, when you hit a wall, you hit a wall. We saw it with Peyton Manning. When you hit a wall, you hit a wall. I mean, it feels like you can be great up until you're not great.
And what did you say about both those guys? Both those guys you mentioned, what does Aaron need to have more than those two guys? His legs.
His legs. That's true.
And so the thing about that, those two guys, you know what I'm saying? They didn't need the legs, and they never had the legs.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what Aaron, I thought, was missing more and more, those plays off script. How many plays were off script that he would make? You know, usually when he got out of the pocket off a play that was broken, and you come down, he's going to his right, and you're thinking, this is going to be a good play. It's a 30-yard, you know what I'm saying? Now those off scripted plays, they're non-existent.
If you were somebody not Green Bay that was looking for a quarterback, would you want Rodgers? Because you know you have to pay a pretty steep price, not only with the salary, but with what you have to give up. Do you think that would be a good investment for another team?
I think what's happening is Green Bay's finding out that they're not going to get what they want.
And I think people feel burned after Russell Wilson last year.
Yep, that was the worst thing that possibly could happen. And then you throw that one in the fact, and you throw that he didn't have that great of a year.
Right.
So why are they going to give up two first round picks?
Unless you have a superstar receiver, because when he did not have the superstar receiver, it was a lot harder.
And then that case is David Carr or Lamar Jackson, are those guys just as good then?
I know.
You know what I mean? So
really,
then why would, when Carr is literally you can get for nothing, why would you trade for him?
Exactly. That's what I would be thinking.
That's what I would be thinking.
I know you have to go to Edgar, so.
Yeah, and you gotta head. You just get to head over town.
I know.
Nice. Look at this guy. But you do have to walk up those stairs, though.
I do. Well, good luck tonight.
Thanks, Chad, and you have a great broadcast, and then we look forward to talking next week.
Absolutely. Paul Micklick again, talking some Wisconsin sports here on Bow Falls Radio. We're going to take a quick time out and come back with more. Again, it's a Friday afternoon. The time is almost 2:48. I'm Chad Holmes on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. On Friday night, the Marathon High School girls basketball team travels to Auburndale for a Division IV regional semifinal. Hear the game live on BowFallsRadio.com and the Sports 2 stream, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and on tape delay on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 immediately following the Wausau West playoff game. Marathon High School basketball on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you by Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Sun Printing, The Dirks Group, Brickners of Little Chicago, Fisher Transportation, Four Seasons Screen Printing, County Materials, Twin Forest Products, the Marathon Athletic Club, Marathon Cheese, Marathon City Sports Center, Marathon Family Dentistry, Marathon Park City, Mark's Chiropractic, and People's State Bank. It's Marathon Girls Basketball at Auburndale in a Division IV regional semifinal. Friday night, live online at BowFallsRadio.com and the Sports 2 stream starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening tip at 7 p.m. Chad Holmes back with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Thanks again to Paul Micklick for joining us, talking some high school sports. I should say Wisconsin sports. Speaking of high school sports, tonight we have a pair of games, both live in terms of being online and one live on the radio followed on tape delay. I'll be at the Wausau West High School Fieldhouse tonight as the Wausau West girls basketball team takes on Appleton East in a Division I regional semifinal. 6:40 for the pregame show, 7 o'clock for the opening tip. Again, that will be live right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and of course on the Civic Media app as well. Also tonight, live online only by going to BowFallsRadio.com and then clicking on Sports Stream 2. It will be the Marathon High School Red Raiders. The Red Raider girls take on Auburndale in a Division IV regional semifinal. Again, that game can be heard live online only. BowFallsRadio.com and Sports Stream 2. Pregame at approximately 6:45 and the opening tip at 7 p.m. And that Auburndale game against Marathon will also be heard on a tape delay basis after the Wausau West broadcast here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. I got a story that kind of combines sports and I think foreign policy and what should be right in this country. This weekend, on television here in the United States, on the CW network, they will begin showing golf from the LIV Tour, the Live Golf Tour. And if you're not familiar with the Live Golf Tour, it is a golf tour that was basically financed and formed by the Saudi Arabian Public Fund. They have a fund where they spend money on all sorts of different activities. One of which recently in the last couple of years was purchasing the Newcastle United English Premier Football Club, the English Premier Soccer Team. And it was a lot of controversy. It took a long time, but ultimately they were able to use it. They had some British people that were fronting it, but the money behind it came from this public fund, which basically does what is called sport washing. Sport washing means to try and cover up some of the ills of the Saudi Arabian government in terms of human rights and the way they treat women in their country and the media and everything else. They try to buy the sporting units, whether it's a soccer club in the Premier League, or in this case, forming this new golf league. And what they've done is they have spent hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to sign up people like Bryson DeChambeau, others as well. I mean, top golfers from the PGA Tour. And the PGA Tour, after this occurred, are not allowing these golfers to participate in their events. But the LIV Golf Tour, and starting this weekend, the CW, the network, one of the networks in the United States, will be airing LIV Golf events. But I saw a note that some CW affiliates in a total of 14 markets have declined to air LIV Golf this weekend. That includes the Chicago market, the Philadelphia market, Atlanta, San Francisco, and others. About 20% of the CW's ad revenue base in those markets. And the thing about it is, the CW should be asked, every golfer that signs up for the LIV Golf Tour should be asked, are you comfortable getting money from the same Saudi Arabian government that funded Al-Qaeda, that funded the terrorists behind 9/11, because that's what it is. And the idea that these folks who are making a pretty good living on the PGA Tour takes this blood money from LIV and the Saudi Arabian government is disgusting. And then to add to the level of disgust is to have one of the networks in the United States, the CW network, agree to air these events. I don't know whether the CW is being paid by the LIV Golf Tour to put on these events. I think that is the case. Or whether or not, and if this is the case, it is disgusting, the CW is paying the LIV Golf Tour to put on their events. But again, you have to go through a few layers to find this. But again, the LIV Golf Tour is being funded by the same people, the same government that bombed the United States of America and took down the Twin Towers on 9/11-2001. And these Americans are taking that money. I want to hear somebody ask these guys how you compartmentalize that. Because they do. The fans of Newcastle United get so upset when people in articles point out that they are owned by the Saudi government, by terrorists. So again, this weekend, don't watch LIV Golf on the CW. Hopefully, the ratings will be minuscule or nothing, and they'll realize that this isn't worth it. But good for those affiliates, those big affiliates like Chicago, Philly, Atlanta, and San Fran, for not airing LIV Golf this weekend, despite the fact that they are CW affiliates. But it is disgusting what these golfers are doing. Taking the money, outrageous amounts of money. Yes, I understand it can be very difficult if you're getting outrageous money. But the fact is, the reason they're getting this outrageous money is because of the corruption in Saudi Arabia. These wealthy Middle Eastern countries, I mean, it is disgusting, the amount of wealth, while so many of their people are poor. But again, when I saw this note earlier this afternoon about these CW affiliates and the not airing LIV Golf, it's like, good. Because the idea of CW even airing this golf was so incredibly shocking when it was announced during the course of this winter. And again, disgusting is the word. We're going to get a CBS News update here in just a few seconds, and then we will come back with our number two of the program. I am Chad Holmes. It is Friday. We're trying to keep it loose and free on this Friday. Hopefully it's been a good one, and we'll have a terrific weekend coming up. Again, join me each and every weekday from 2 until 4 p.m. right here on your Civic Media station, Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa.